know it may not be many, but hey. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I may be skipping around, but don't know right now, but if what the Lord leads. Just want to be able to follow his leadership. Because if I can't follow his leadership, then everything that I do will be in vain. And I want to try to lift up his name each and every time. And that's, you know, and I thank the Lord that we can do it. And had nobody outside of the doors I hear that where I do, and you know, and I know that I have some people tell me, say, you don't need to be so loud. Well, why not? They loud around me using God's name in vain and all of the abuse and all the cursing that they do. I can be loud and let them know who I'm with. And I think we need to let people know that. But I know some people, you know, that, you know, which that's fine. That's up to them. But I believe we need to stay close to the Lord. And we stay close to the Lord. We know that we're staying close to the Holy Spirit. And we know that we're going to listen to Him. But this, I want to speak on the local church. And it's not particularly talking about this church, but I just want to speak on the local church that God has allowed His Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that allowed that to happen and allowed it to come to pass. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are not carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, and are not carnal, and walk as men. For while one saith, I am Paul, and another, I am Apollos, and yet not carnal, and ye not carnal. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but minister by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watereth, but God gives the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive in his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or stubbles, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built upon, he received a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, and which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cleopas of the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, are all yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. Now, Father, we want to thank you for the reading of thy word this morning. Father, we want to thank you for the sweet fellowship that we've had. Thank you for the people that come out today. Now, Lord, we ask you now that you would just give me something fresh and new from heaven this morning. Father, that I can be able to speak about the local church. And God, that we may can be able to learn something this morning that we have known, but Father, some things we forgot about. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll just be with the people, be with the ones that's not able to be here today. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you just touch the people's hearts that's out here in the world that we've come in contact with. The Lord, that they may come to church. Father, we pray for thy Spirit that they may speak to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk about the church, the local church, and the local building. Now, we have a beautiful church. It really is. It's a pretty sized church. But there's something missing. But there's also something is added here. But what we're missing, we are missing the people that need to be here sitting in the pews that's empty. But I thank the Lord for the ones that are here. And I thank the Lord for that the Lord has meant so much to each one of you that are here. That you are trying with your best and with all of God's help that can touch you in a way to where, yes, we may not be many, but it's like this song says, and like what a whole lot of people say. What does that song say? That's little. Yes, we may be a small number, but we're cohesive. We come to one. We're in one accord. And when you come in one accord, you're not just one. And you're not just one individual body, but you are the backbone of this local church. If it wasn't for you, then I would be on Sunday morning preaching to individual pews and that they're empty. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that, the way that you went and you felt like it, you're going somewhere and you're going to meet some people. And you're going to be able to meet some friends that you knew that would be there. But then you come up and then you show up to wherever it's at. And the people are not there. The friends that you thought would have been there, they're not there. The other people that you thought would be there, that would come, that you have never met before, or even spoke to before, and they're not there. It's kind of hard to stay there and look around. And while you're looking around, you see nobody. It's kind of hard to stay there and look. It's kind of hard to stay there and then when the waitress comes out, they come out and they bring the food out. And here you are eating. You're eating by yourself. It's hard to really have the fellowship. And you're saying, what's wrong? Was it me? Was it me? I've been, when I was on the radio station, when we had a Christian radio station in Danville. When I was on a radio station there on Saturday noon, and which, I don't know why they called it, but they called it, they said, what is your handle or whatever and everything. You needed a name. Well, I mean, I didn't consider it no handle. I didn't consider it was anything that I come up with. Because what it was, that I just said, consider God's word. And the Lord give me that, and that's what I used as far as my ministry there. But then there was a couple times that I knew I wouldn't be able to go on a Saturday because I had something else I had to do. And yes, and I went to the church of a community Baptist church. And I'd get up there and I'd preach for like 15, 20 minutes. But you know, and I says, hey, this is not for me to come over to the church and to preach and record the message and give it to them. I just gotta make time. I gotta make sure that I'm able to go on Saturday. Because I was over there and I was trying to concentrate and everything. But I got to looking up and the pews, all the pews was there. The lights was on, but it was not a living soul there. It wasn't nobody there but me. And I know the Lord was there with me, but it was still hard for me to get up and even try to get my thoughts together. So we don't need to look at it like that. I'm a member of Faith Baptist Church. And I need to be there. We should not look at it that way. We should look at it in a way to where we are the members of God's family. And if we are members of God's family in the local church, that's who we want to be around, is our family. When you have a family reunion, who do you have? 90% of the people there is going to be family. Some you may have never met before, maybe cousins, but they're still family. We can come into church, we can miss a Sunday. Next Sunday, we can come into church. Somebody may be here that wasn't here the last time that you was here or I was here. But they've come in and you talk to them and they said they're saved. Whether they become a member of Faith Baptist Church or not, they are still the members of the kingdom of God. Because when I got saved, it said I became a new creature. Old things has passed away. All my sins had been washed away. But when I came forth and a couple weeks later and I came forth and I joined the local church. And then I went forward. And I obeyed the word and I obeyed the Lord and coming forth and wanting to be baptized. And then I came forth and then when they had that communion, then I could take communion. But I had to examine myself first. Because if I had sin in my life that the Lord was not approved of. If I had anything in my life that the Lord was not approved of, I could not partake of the bread. I could not partake of the juice of the vine. Why? Because I had something in my life that I had not got rid of. But see, maybe I had forgot about it. But I still had not asked God to forgive me for it. And when you have them type of sin, they're so down deep in your gut
where the Lord doesn't bring them up, the devil will bring them up to you. And when the devil brings them up to you, what happens? He starts working on your mind. He starts telling you, well, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. And there's also, you don't have to do these things to be a Christian. No, but I don't have to come to church to be a Christian. But coming to church will build me up. Coming to church encourages me by the other people. Because I don't know about you, and you can go out here into the world and we'll spend more time in the world in the eyes of the public, so say, that we hear so much going on and so much sin and so much negativity that we cannot focus. And if we don't come to church and have fellowship with other people, then how are we going to be productive? How are we going to be a productive Christian? How we know we're going to, if we do anything right way? Because I tell you, people that don't come to church, and they tell you, say, well, I read my Bible every day. Every morning I read my Bible. I don't need to come to church to go to heaven. No, you don't need to come to church to go to heaven. But you do need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on you. You need to realize that you've come to Him and you've asked Him to be the Lord of your life. It's one thing to ask Him for forgiveness. And it's another thing to ask Him to save your soul. But it's totally different when you come to Him and say, now, I want you to be the Lord of my life. When you make Him the Lord of your life, then you're going to want to do everything you can to please Him. Right? Because what do we do when we go to... When the mothers to go to the hospital and when they give birth to a child, do they just give birth to that child and then bring that child home? And then lay in the baby bed and let that child defend for itself? No. The first thing that we're going to try to do, what we're going to try to come up with, I know some people has had a hard time to come up with a right name, stuff like that. But you give the child a name before you leave the hospital, where they can document it there. And when you give that child a name, that child's name is affiliated with you. Why? Because it has your last name. Now, I know that as far as, I hope I can bring this out the way that, is that right? Now, my father, my biological father, got killed January 1st, 1958. Sometime, I think it was in... might have been in the fall. My mother, she remarried, I think it was in 61, I believe it was. When she married Herschel Mustang in 61, I did not take on his name. And I did not... Per se, I did not accept him as my I didn't accept him as my stepfather or even my father until after I got saved. And after I got saved, I realized one thing. It wasn't because I had to have his last name to be affiliated with him. What made me, and knowing that he was my father from 1961 until his death, he wasn't my biological father, but he was my father. Why? Because he was there. And he done so much for us. He done so much for my mother. But just because I didn't take his name does not mean that I wasn't connected to him. I was connected to him with all them years. And Brother Bill, I'm glad what you spoke on this morning. After I got saved, the Lord burdened my heart to go and talk to him. But I was so young as a Christian, just a new convert, I didn't know how to go and approach him. And we'd done everything together just about all my whole life. We'd cut wood together. We split wood together. We raised gardens together. But when I got saved, that little light come on that I need to go talk to him. So then I called my pastor, Billy Scarce at the time. And I asked Brother Billy, I said, Brother Billy, would you go up there with me to see my stepfather? I said, I don't know if he's saved or not. I don't know. I don't know his heart. I said, but I just need you to go to be, end up being moral support for me. But when the words come out, I said, Herschel, that's what I always called him, Herschel. I said, something that I need to talk to you about. The tears started coming down. And it's the first time I ever said it to him. And when his own tears was coming out, I says, you may not know this because you've never heard me say this, but I love you. I love you because of who you are. Because you've been there for me and the rest of the family, my other brothers, and especially for my mother. But I love you. And I just want you to realize that what I'm going to say and what I'm asking, because I care. And he looked up to me and he says, Donnie, I know. He said, I know you care. And he says, I've seen some changes in your life. I said, well, I hope they are the good changes that you've seen. He said, what I've seen and what I've heard, it is. I said, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know if anybody's ever asked you or not. And I was going to leave that up to Brother Billy, all this and everything. But I asked him, I said, I want to ask you something. I said, if you was to die right now, if you was to have a massive heart attack or a massive stroke and you died right today, this afternoon, Do you know where you would end up at? You know there's two destinations. You got one is hell. Then you got one is heaven. He never did, could give me an answer. But I prayed for him. And I talked to him two other times. It seemed like he was just kind of, I don't know, kind of just shut in. He just kind of closed his ears on what I was saying. But I knew somebody. I knew of another pastor at the time. And I knew that my stepfather knew him because they grew up together. And he was a pastor there at Shermont in Danville. His name was Curtis Hall. Curtis Hall. I tell you what now. If he starts talking to somebody, first of all, he gonna give you his testimony first. And he gonna flat out tell you, he says, I was a drunk. And I was a drunk, the one on the east side, the one on the west side, and the one on the north side of the south side of Danville. I was just a plain out sot. I was just a drunk. But he says, God saved me. God took all that away from me. And I asked him, Brother Hall, I says, I'd like to come up and talk to you. Up to the church, if you don't mind. So I went up to the church one day, one Saturday, right after I got off of work at 12. I went up there, and he was in his office, and I heard the front door open, so I went on in, and he heard the door close. I reckon he's got a little buzzer goes up in his office. But he stepped out his door and he says, come on back here. He didn't even know me. He never seen me before. But I went in and I started talking to him. And I just told him how long I'd been saved and what the Lord had put on my heart. And I says, I don't know, but I think that you know my stepfather. He said, what's his name? I says, his name is Herschel Mustaine. He says, is he your stepfather? I said, yeah. He says, I'll tell you one thing. He said, he's a good man. He is a good man. He'll do anything for you that he can. I said, yeah, but it's one thing. Been a good man. Don't get you to heaven. And I said, I went and talked to him. And I said, he couldn't give me an answer. He didn't say either he's going to hell or he's going to heaven. He couldn't give me an answer. I just told him I'd pray for him. I said, I'd like for you to go see him. He said, yeah, I'll go see him. He said, man, we grew up together. He said, back then, he said, now I'll tell you. He says, now, I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on the Lord is all I'm doing. But I thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and introduced me to a Savior.
and says that he will do things for you that you can't imagine. You can't imagine what the Lord can do for us through the Holy Spirit. And I says, Brother Hall, I says, I've been praying about it, who to contact or who knew him. And I said, but, you know, I just wanted to find out somebody that knew him that could go over and talk to him. I said, because I've had people to tell me since I've been saved, it's harder to talk to your family. And I says, it ain't that I can't talk to him. I'll talk to him again if I have to. I said, but he's sick. And I said, and they rushed him to the hospital this past week. I don't know what kind of sickness he had, but they're going to do surgery on him first part of the week. And I says, I don't know what they're going to find or nothing like that. I said, but what I need to know, in case something does happen, I need to know if he's saved or not. I said, would you please go to the hospital and visit him? He's a man. I sure will. He's a man. It's been a few years since I've seen him. He said, yeah, I'll go up and see him. And he went up and saw him. The first thing he told my stepfather, he said, you know who I am, don't you? He said, Herschel said, yeah. He says, I know exactly who you are. He says, you Curtis Hall on the other side of the tracks. He said, sure am. He said, I'm the same Curtis Hall that was called the drunk on the other side of the tracks. He said, but I wasn't just a drunk on the other side of the track, which was on the north bank, on the north side. He says, I'm the same drunk that was on the south side. And I'm the same drunk that was on the east side. And I'm the same drunk that I was on the west side. But when the Lord come into my heart, and when he saved my soul, he took all that away from me. He says, now, I'm serving a God now in heaven, that he's my Lord and my Savior on the north side of the tracks. He's my Lord and my Savior on the south side of the tracks. He's my Lord and Savior on the east side and on the west side of the tracks. He said, he's my Lord. And he says, I heard you was here in the hospital, and hey, somebody called me, come to the church and meet me, and want me to, if I'd come up here and talk to you. And he said, I told him I would. He said, because we grew up together. We know the story behind each one of us. He said, who was it? He says, one of your stepsons. He said, was? He said, yeah. He said, I can tell you exactly who it was then. He said, it was Donnie Warren. He said, yeah. He loves you. He has a concern about you and you only right now. Brother Hall said, he called me that afternoon and he told me, he called me and told me, I went to see him. I said, you did? He said, yeah. I said, how did everything go? He said, well, we're all right.
He said, man, we talked for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, just about. And said, and I finally told him, I said, I'm going to have to end up leaving here. Because I know I'm weighing you out. Because you're looking kind of tired. He said, but now, I just, you know, just want to ask you something. He said, well, wanted to ask me. I know you've been wanting to ask me something ever since you come here. He said, I want to ask you, what's your relationship with the Lord? What's your relationship with God the Father? What's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Herschel says, Curtis, I don't have no relationship with them. Curtis says, would you like to change that? Would you like to have a relationship with them? He said, yeah, I sure would. And when he called me and he told me, he says, you don't have to worry about it no more. You don't have to worry about not going to sleep tonight. Because he's okay. Like 3 or 4 days later, he died on a Saturday. Right after that morning, I think sometime around 1, 2 o'clock, something like that, he died. Then we all left the room, Diane and nurse and everything. They took us back to this other little room while they was going to get him ready to where they called the funeral home. Now I went in with my mother and my other brothers and I went in and his son, I don't even know if he was even there or not at that time, but he ended up leaving that morning. But I walked back out in the hall. A nurse standing there. I says, they haven't come. And got Brother Mustang. He said, no. Says, he's still in there. Says, we're just waiting on the right people to come so they can take his body down to the morgue. And then the funeral home will come. I went in to that room. And as I pushed on that little knob there, you push on the knob to go into a room, it felt like it was something holding me back. Because I was pushing to go in. And it was a force on the other side. What it was God in there. And I went in that room, and I'm not kidding you. That was the first time I've ever experienced anything like that before. But when I went in that hospital room, and he was laying right down, he had the sweetest little smile on his face. And I could feel the presence of God. I could feel the presence was in us so thick that I almost had to cut my way through there. But I had prayer. But the prayer that I was praying, I won't pray in the prayer like a whole lot of people do. They say, look over. Let's tell Father. Hey, I know that God's going to look after him. I knew that because he was in heaven. The only thing I was doing, I was thanking the Lord. I was thanking the Lord and I was thanking the Holy Spirit. Because they went in and done something that nobody else could ever do. They done it. And my heart was just overjoyed. I'm just full of it. But I did, when it come to meeting all the people at the house and everything, it did kind of hit me in a way that, well, I knew that I wouldn't be able to go the next Saturday with him and my uncle to the woods and spend some time over there and cutting the trees down and then having them split. I wouldn't have that time with him no more. And I completely just lost it. I mean, I knew there was something going on, but I didn't know what it was. But my wife and even my mother said, "You just about really lost it. You just about went crazy." I don't know what all they did say to me at that time, but I come to find out that my best friend was gone. But I had him right here the whole time. The whole time he was right there in my heart. What caused that? What caused that concern? That much concern? First off, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fellowship that I had with him. But not only that, it was the church. Where I had fellowship with them. And yes, and I had a church. And backing me up, that's praying for me. And I could feel all the prayers. You know, sometimes we have to go through things in life we don't like to go through. And we don't want to go through them. But for us to get closer to God and for us to be able to grow in His grace, He allows them things to Why? Because we are so precious to Him. He don't want to lose us to the world for nothing. We need the local church. We need each one. I think it says that when in the second book of Acts, it says, speaking about the church and everything, it talks about, wow, they all come together in one accord. In other words, when it said one accord, that means they all came together, united with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, the church started growing. Souls being saved. And I'm not saying that we're not united here. I'm not saying that we're not. But I'm saying that as long as we do stay united, I'm just waiting for the next chapter to come about. We have no idea what's going to happen. But I do know one thing. I believe each and every one of us can say this here this morning, that we all are going to heaven. We're not going to just be united down here in one accord. We are united because we're going to be there in heaven. I love each and every one of you. I love you. All of you. I love your family members. I love your friends. I love them all. I don't see nobody die and go to hell just like Jesus. That's not the reason He created hell. He created hell for the devil because of what he done to his Father there in heaven and the angels. That's who He created for. The devil and his angels. The last time I seen in the Bible, He didn't say the lost man will hear is the devil. He said a lost individual can get saved. Just as well as I could have got saved. And we need to revalue our own Christian life. And I know it's maybe it's getting a little late. And I apologize for it, but I can't apologize for what the Holy Spirit's given me. But we really need to talk to our family more about the Lord than we've ever talked to before. And I'm not saying that you don't. But when was the last time that the family member that you're talking to, that you was talking to them, and the individual seen a tear come down on your face? When was the last time? We need to allow the Lord, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to break our heart because of our family, because of our loved one. If we can't go ahead and talk to our family and our loved ones, how are we going to talk to somebody that we don't know? I know some people say that's easy. Well, some people told me it was hard for me to talk to my family. Some cases it is. It's hard. But I believe if you go with the Lord and the Lord's with you and you're sincere in it, and the individual that you're speaking to, if it's a family member or somebody else that you don't even know anything about, if they can see that what's coming from your lips is sincere, that's not coming from your mind, but it's coming from the heart, they'll be more apt to listen. They're more apt to understand what you're saying because you love them. You just don't love them because, I love you because you're my family. No. You love them because God once loved you. I know people today, they don't even love the family. Matter of fact, they hate the family. How can you hate your family in whom you have seen? And then you turn around and you say that you love God. whom you haven't seen. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, I just want to apologize to the people that it took me so long to get out through these lips of clay that what I need to get out this morning. Yes, Father, maybe been some points there that I was out here chasing rabbits, per se. But Lord, I will never ask and I will never apologize to no one about what the Holy Spirit spoken to me about. I believe we need to be closer together as a body of people, as a temple of God, to where when one hurts, the others also hurt. They may not have the same pain exactly where the other individual has the pain at. Father, we can feel the pain within our hearts that we know where they want to be at. We know also, Father, the ones that is in pain, Father, but they've caused the pain because they've never wanted to come and be dedicated unto the church and be dedicated unto the Lord and serve Him. Yes, they'll say they're saved, but I'm no judge. I cannot say that whether they are not saved or not. I do not know that. That's between you, God, and the individual. So, Lord, we just ask today, Father, that you may just take us, break us down, Father, to where we can be so humble because, Father, I think that may be one of the reasons of what's happening to the local church today and to all the churches is about today, that the people themselves will not humble themselves and will not just cry to God and say, oh God, save them. Oh Father God, I'm bringing this individual to you because I believe within my own heart that they're lost. But Father, I do not know if they are or not, but I know that they're not serving you. Father, if they are lost, we pray that the Holy Spirit will convict our souls in such a way that they know that something has took place. They have felt something like they've never felt before in their life. And as the Holy Spirit introduced them to Jesus, the Savior of the world, we pray, Father, Lord Jesus, that the individual will just come and just ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save their soul. Because there's something within them that they don't understand and they will never understand it. And yes, there's so many people today say, well, I need to get this straight. I need to quit doing this before I can come to church. Lord, we know that people say that all the time. And when they say it, we know that they're not going, they cannot give it up. They cannot give it up. They have to turn it over to you and allow you take control of it. Father, I do pray for Faith Baptist Church. I have a burden for this church. I've had a burden since I've been here, Lord. But I don't know, for the last couple of the weeks, the burden has been so strong. And Lord, I don't think it's anything that I've done wrong. But Father, if there is, if it's something in my life that I do, that I haven't asked for forgiveness for, God, I ask, Lord, today that you will forgive me for all the sin that is in my life. That all the sin that I cannot remember at this time, cleanse me. Wash me anew once again. Crucify me. I need to be crucified daily, as Paul said. Father, crucify the people. Father, crucify each one of us that we can all know that we can come together. And not just thinking about what we can do, but we can come together as a body of Christ in touching the things that you have for us, Father. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Page 252.